is there more conflict than in, around, and concerning Jerusalem?
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Peace is both an elusive goal and a complex thought. And on the one hand, I could say that much and declare the first half of this sermon preached and move on to the conclusion. And some of you would probably thank me. But I feel the need to explain further. The elusive goal part, I know everybody understands. From Neville Chamberlain's, as it turned out, overly optimistic proclamation of peace in our times, to the current struggle with the Mideast peace process, we just keep not getting there. And war goes on. I hope that it will be as much help to you as it is to me to better understand what the term peace, especially as it is used in the Bible, really means. As to that biblical use, in the Old Testament, the word is shalom. And oddly enough, when we find out, it doesn't seem right that it is the last part of the word Jerusalem, or as it might once have been said, Yeru Shalom. The city of peace. The city of God's peace. Go figure. Where is there more conflict than in, around, and concerning Jerusalem? But at any rate, that Old Testament word is shalom. The New Testament word, which means the same thing, is Irene. My brother-in-law, Gary, who preaches where I used to preach at the Drexel Gardens Christian Church of Indianapolis, Indiana, has adopted the biblical practice of greeting people for hello, saying goodbye, whatever, with the word peace. He says to them, peace. Says, peace, flow, peace, everyone. And sometimes he uses the Old Testament word shalom, and sometimes he uses the English word peace. I have yet to see him greet anyone saying Irene, probably for fear someone would say, but my name is Shirley. But in biblical practice, in whichever language, peace was standard for hello, peace was standard for goodbye, peace was standard for a good many things in between, none of which it technically meant. It is still the case in many parts of the world, and we would understand it better if we had lived in those biblical times or in other parts of the world in the present day. But the world is a dangerous place, and the difference between friends and enemies is not always obvious or permanent. When you greeted someone with the word peace, you were giving them a sense of certainty that they could get close to you, say within stabbing range, without fear of danger because you extended to them peace. If you invited someone into your home, and here we just don't have the same set of concerns as people in more dangerous places and neighborhoods who would be saying, ah, you want me to come into an enclosed structure out of sight and reach of help where you can close the door and block off my escape route. I never think of any of those things when I go into someone's house. These people did. And when you invited someone into your home and you said, peace, you were extending to them a certainty at this time, on this occasion, in this place, you will not be harmed in this house, because I extend to you the certainty of my goodwill. When you dig into the root meaning of the words shalom or Irene, and I've explained this often enough that everybody probably gets it, words are often made from other words which meant other things before they got put into this word. For instance, when you say the word health, that is made from other words, the root meaning of which is whole, all in one piece, as in the toe bone connected to the foot bone and the foot bone connected to the ankle. And if it doesn't, if those bones don't connect, you're probably not very healthy, because your wholeness has been interrupted. The root meaning of both shalom and Irene goes back to words that mean certainty. To have peace is to be certain about some things, to be sure that they are true. We understand this at times when we say, I am at peace on a given issue. We don't necessarily mean that there isn't any more conflict out there about the issue, or that we might not get sucked into the conflict about the issue. What we mean is, I am certain where I stand. I hold this to be certainly true. And this gives me peace. It goes even deeper, and the people of the Bible who heard the word differently than us understood those depths. For instance, if I invited you into my house offering you shalom, I not only meant that you had the certainty of my good will in the sense that I wouldn't hurt you. Once I extended that certainty, it became my sacred responsibility to protect you while you were inside my walls. When I said goodbye and I said shalom, I was wishing you peace on the road. And what I meant was, may you have certainties as to where you're going and by what route you're going to get there and why. The root of peace is always certainty. Sometimes, especially with the Romans of biblical times, the certainties could be negative. If you do something we don't like, we will certainly cave your head in and sell your family into slavery and burn your house down to ashes. We will certainly do these things. And that was often the basis of the peace that became known as the Pax Romana. But at any rate, the root meaning of peace is always certainty. Things, especially the goodwill of other actors, which can be known for sure. And the opposite of peace is not conflict, but uncertainty. I will tell you something of which I'm sure you can think of an example without me going into any, but there are times when you can walk through areas of conflict, but you have peace because you bear the tokens of the goodwill of the person in authority. The king's seal on a letter, a stick with some beads, whatever it may be. You have tokens from the person in authority that allows you to pass through an area of conflict because you have that ruler's good will. We're now ready to conclude the Christmas preaching schedule, and I've been concentrating on the question, what's so good about the good news, as it was called by the angels addressing the shepherds in the second chapter of Luke? And I have isolated three components of that good. There are many more that we could dwell on, but I thought three was all we had time for. Number one, the good news is good because in Jesus Christ, everything we have believed and pinned our hopes on is fulfilled. Number two, the good news is good because in Jesus Christ, we finally are able to satisfy our deep longing to know God. Third, last, and for today, the good news is good because in Jesus Christ, we have received God's tokens of peace. Now, having said that, I could say that the second half of the sermon is preached and move right to the invitation. And again, maybe some would thank me. But again, I will explain further. Although I've been looking mainly at Luke 2:10 and 11, if you go down to verse 14, we find the angel saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom God is pleased." Or as per King James, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The shepherds who received this proclamation knew all about war. They knew it from a side that we have not much experience. Their nation lost. And they knew all about danger and uncertainty. When you saw a Roman soldier coming your direction, maybe he would just pass you by, or maybe he would just hit you or kick you on the way, or maybe he would compel you to carry everything he had for a mile or so, or maybe he would arrest you on whatever pretext probably pleased him. And if he arrested you, you had no certainty about what was going to happen, except that it probably would have been better, all things considered, if he had not arrested you. These men had this certainty. They were taxed to penury, and their own national leadership was corrupt. They lacked this certainty. When will things get better? We don't know. We wish we knew. Maybe. When the Messiah comes, I guess. Well, funny you should mention that, because the Messiah has come. Good news. Rush off to Bethlehem to see him and know this. He brings with him peace on earth, God's goodwill toward men. Because of our slightly shallow understanding of the concept of peace, we don't always have ears to hear that proclamation as we ought. Now, on the one hand, we do understand, when we think about it, the historical reasons for which our circumstances are so widely separated from those of first century Jewish shepherds. Do you know why we live so free of danger that I am not afraid to go into anybody's home? I knock on the door, they answer. If they invite me in, I go in, they shut the door, I never give it a second thought. There are people in the world who would think me incredibly naive and foolish for that. Do you know why I don't try to shrink into the background when I see a man in uniform, either police or military? I live in one of the few places on earth where my first thought is I should buy that guy lunch. Not to appease his wrath, but because I appreciate everything he or she does. There are lots of people who would consider me foolish and naive for that too. Do you know why it is that I could leave here right after service if I so chose and drive hundreds of miles to some place that I have never been before and drive through territory that is empty and lonely and unpatrolled and never give one single thought to the idea that I might be ambushed and robbed and hurt and killed on the way? That is a state of freedom that a lot of people cannot imagine. And the answer to all those questions and many others is that my society has been shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Western civilization, Christendom, for all its imperfections, achieved this unheard of level of safety and freedom and prosperity because it has been shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am thankful for that. All of you, amen. I fear that it's changing. And sooner than I might like, I will have a better understanding of those cultures where safety is not taken for granted. Places like Chicago have a head start in the process. But while I'm thankful for all that comes with Christendom, it's a little bit secondary. The angels herald Jesus' arrival as that of peace on earth. But immediately, Herod the Great sets out to kill Jesus, murders a slew of babies in the process. And others will pick up where Herod left off, and many will wish that Jesus was dead and take steps in that direction. And Jesus made no secret of it to his followers. He said, soon, soon, one of these attempts will succeed, and I will be killed. They had trouble hearing that, but Jesus said it. And just about 30 years after the angelic proclamation of peace, Jesus would be brutally executed on the cross. And about 40 years after that, the shepherds who heard the angelic proclamation of peace would raise lambs for the temple service no more, because the Romans would come and knock the temple down flat, and there would be much bloodshed and killing to follow. No end of conflict for the Jewish people. Hitler was just one persecutor in a long line of such, and not the last. Nor would the rest of the world be exempted from the conflict. Just to tell one part of the story, Asia Minor and Egypt, those parts of the world northwest and south of the birthplace of Jesus, became, in just a very short time after the angelic proclamation, a set of peaceful Christian nations, another Christendom before the one with which we are familiar. To simplify the historical narrative without at all falsifying it, the rise of Islam set in motion a tide of bloodshed that toppled those nations. Conflict continues, and we still have no shortage of it. Were the angels confused? Were they just wrong? I submit they were not. They knew exactly what they meant by peace. And I think the shepherds of Bethlehem were better equipped to hear what they meant than we. Conflict continues, but we have tokens of peace from the highest of all authorities. And no matter what horrible thing anyone does, we have God's goodwill, and He will redeem us from any set of circumstances. I hold that to be a rock solid certainty. And so I have peace. Jesus Himself said things which to our modern ears seem contradictory. He said, on the one hand, that war and crime and poverty would continue until the day when God makes all things new. He did not hide this from us. On the other hand, He said, peace give I to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Peace I give to you. I mentioned just about 30 years from the angelic proclamation of peace on earth arriving with Jesus Christ, Jesus was brutally, shamefully, violently executed. I should also mention what you already know. 3 days after that, He rose from the dead, and He promised that all who believe and hope in Him will do the same. Tokens of God's peace, although they are many, can today be seen as three: a cradle, a cross, and an empty tomb. These things bestow upon us the certainty of His goodwill, and we may have peace. The world is fallen and will continue to produce conflict and atrocity. It is the way of the world. But we have the tokens of God's goodwill, the certainty of redemption and resurrection. Death, we're all doomed to it anyway. Everybody here is going to die. If dying is not in your plan is sadly incomplete. But for me, live is Christ, to die is gain. Because it is all just another gateway to God, and in Jesus Christ I am made certain of God's good will. For if He gave his own son at Bethlehem, and 30 years later, even more profoundly at Jerusalem, and now all of a sudden it makes sense. The city of God's peace. The place where he gave his son to impart upon us the certainty of his goodwill. Then what will he not give to make that goodwill certain? We may have peace. And I will say this just one last time. At Christmas, the world sees it at least a little. The fulfillment of hopes, the possibility of knowing our Maker, and the arrival of peace. Do not let the opportunity pass quick while they're looking. Proclaim the good news, including this. In Jesus Christ, there is peace on earth, God's goodwill toward men.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.